Welcome to the Biz Times MKE podcast and another episode of the Weekly Debrief. I'm Arthur Thomas, Managing Editor at Biz Times Media, and I'm joined on the Weekly Debrief, as always, by Biz Times Editor Andrew Weiland. Andrew, how are you doing this week?
Just fine. You know, it's been another busy week. My computer melted down, so I'm talking to you on a new computer here. So I'm glad to kind of get that headache out of the way. And high school football starts tonight. So, you know, there's a lot going on, like always.
Absolutely. And yeah, gotta get to go through the joys of reconfiguring your settings and getting used to where things are and all that fun stuff that comes with new technology. So we'll wish you luck in that. Let's dive in with our insider story spotlight. That is a chance for us to highlight some of the stories that are available only to Biz Times insiders. If you are already an insider, thank you very much. We really do appreciate that. Your support helps make our work possible. If you're not an insider, please consider subscribing. The equivalent of $9 a month will get you access to all of the stories on our website, biztimes.com, along with discounted admission to some of our events and other insider benefits. So go to biztimes.com and click on the subscribe button at the top of the page and sign up. Andrew, what is your insider story spotlight this week?
We had a really interesting story this week about Mayville Engineering Company, which is a large manufacturing company based in Mayville up in Dodge County, roughly an hour's drive northwest of Milwaukee. It's the largest metal fabricating company in the nation. And we found out this week that they're planning to move their corporate headquarters to Milwaukee, to an office building on the west side of the city of Milwaukee. Reason for this being that the company went public 4 years ago, and they discovered that the type of staff they need, you know, they need to do a lot of SEC reporting. They need, you know, legal counsel, and they need accounting and audit experts that they just don't have and have been unable to attract or find in or to Mayville. So they realized they needed a office in a larger city, and they considered a number of options and have decided to establish a new headquarters office in Milwaukee. Not a lot of jobs at first, but it's going to be something they're going to build up over time. But very interesting. And, you know, we've seen a trend. This is add this to the growing list of companies that are either in small towns in Wisconsin or suburban areas that decided for talent attraction reasons, they need to move their offices, either establish an office or move offices to the city of Milwaukee. I mean, you can count Northwestern Mutual, Fiserv, Twin Disc, Manitowoc Company, and now add Mayville to that list, and I might be missing others. Milwaukee Tool has done a Milwaukee office. So all those are
right
really...
Height, Michaels.
Yeah, yeah. Michaels for sure, Right Height, yeah. All those really are related to need to attract talent and doing that in the largest city in the state. So very interesting. Milwaukee is a magnet, and Milwaukee matters whether people realize it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, you know, an outstate attitude towards Milwaukee of it being a black hole for state dollars, but it's also an engine for the state and the state's economy, and is really important to the state, you know, growing. And it's not that Milwaukee isn't without its problems, but and challenges, but it's also a massive engine to power the rest of the state. So definitely interesting to see them making establishing a presence here. We'll see how it grows. You know, some of these, you hear about them moving an office here and then headquarters. It's like, oh, we got a headquarters, big company, but it doesn't always translate to a big job presence. You know, Rev Group, for example, the specialty vehicle maker, you know, it was a big deal when Tim Sullivan announced they were going to bring that headquarters here. It didn't, you know, necessarily add up to being a huge presence in the long run. So something to keep an eye on for certain.
Right. Yep.
My insider story spotlight is one from our reporter, Ashley Smart. She checked in with Sharad Chadha, the president of Sprecher Brewing, the company most well known, I think, for their root beer. I certainly have fond childhood memories of getting a speck of root beer at Pop's Custard in Menominee Falls. But so Sherrod and his team, a group of investors, bought the company back in 2020. I think it was late 19, early 20 that they bought it. And he was actually a speaker at our M&A forum in March of 2020, right as the world was kind of shutting down for the COVID pandemic. I remember that being a very eerie morning. But over the past 3 years, they've really thrived. 35% year-over-year growth, Ashley reports in the story after talking with Shroud. 270% increase in distribution. They're now in 49 states, and they just keep growing and growing. They got kind of talk about some of their ambitions for a physical expansion of their facilities. It's just a really exciting story of someone buying this company and just being able to grow it year over year through some challenging times. I mean, there was the pandemic, there's all the supply chain stuff, which certainly, for a small to medium sized, or relatively small, when you think about who they compete against in the terms of big soft drink makers, they're pretty small. So supply chains are the challenge, and just the thing, now rising interest rates. Impressive that they've been able to grow the way they have for the last several years.
Absolutely. And I can remember when he let, his group bought the business, and he had extremely ambitious plans and wasn't shy about talking about them for that company and for the Sprecher brand. And really, it seems like he's been able to grow it significantly. And if you read Ash's story, you'll realize he is not done. He is grand ambitions beyond to keep growing that business. So yeah, it is a very exciting story and one we will continue to watch closely.
We'll shift gears then to our big story of the week in just a moment. But before we do, want to highlight that we are currently seeking nominations for our Rising Stars in Manufacturing series. The Rising Stars features highlights people who are three or more levels away from CEO, but on a path to greater leadership, folks with, demonstrated leadership or demonstrated accomplishments at their company. We're looking for folks at manufacturing companies in the region. If you go to biztimes.com, click on the submit button at the top of the page, and look for the Rising Stars feature. We'll learn more about that. But this deadline for nominations is September 1st, so please do consider it. Switching then to our big story of the week, news from the Deer District, FPC Live, which is Madison-based concert promoter, who has had several iterations of plans for a live music venue in Milwaukee. And we've talked about that a couple different times in the podcast. We talked about it when it was planned over by the Summerfest grounds. That ran into opposition. Those plans were scrapped and moved over to the Deer District, the former Bradley Center site. And they planned a two venue complex, or one venue is going to be 4,000 person capacity, and the second would have 800 person capacity. Well, now that's been changed again, and now we're going to have a single 4,500 person capacity venue to be built on the northeast section of the former Bradley Center site. Interesting news, interesting update on this project that you'd think would, it got approvals, it seemed like it was moving along, and then it wasn't. And now we got a new plan. Now it's got to go back for more approvals. So we'll have to, I guess, wait and see, does this thing come to fruition? But Andrew, what does this maybe tell you about kind of the state of the economy, the state of development in Milwaukee, that, this project, which FPC Live, majority owned by Live Nation, the big mega concert behemoth in the country, is kind of not steamrolling ahead, but having to ebb and flow and change and evolve.
Yeah, it's a little surprising to me. I thought this was going to be a project that would steamroll ahead. But it's apparent that it's very clear that FPC Live is, struggling to put this deal together, struggling to put the financing together. It's not just simply being bankrolled by Live Nation. They are, trying to put together a financial package to get this project going, and they've run into similar problems that everyone who's trying to do development is facing, which is construction costs have risen significantly. And of course, with higher interest rates, we now have significantly higher borrowing costs. The cost of this project, FPC Live is saying, has gone from about $50 million to $60 million. So a substantial increase indeed. And, one, they cited higher costs for steel, higher costs for concrete. And, one thing I guess that they were considering was making changes to the design to save some of the costs, scaling back on some of the amenities in the facility. But then they decided they really didn't want to do that. They want to do a high quality facility and have a high quality experience, both for, the audience and for the artists performing at this facility. And so their decision was made to streamline the project from two venues to just one venue. Out goes the 800 seat venue, and the 4,000 seat venue is bumped up to a 4,500 seat venue. So, they're expressing a lot of confidence about getting the financing. And as you mentioned, it now, needs to be approved, kind of reapproved, I guess, by the city. And if they get that, then they're hoping to break ground by the end of the year. But I guess that remains to be seen. I mean, they've obviously, they're expressing a lot of confidence about financing this project, but and say that there's interest, but it clearly has not been easy to finance. Otherwise, it would have been under construction, a long time ago. So it'll be interesting to see if these new plans can quickly get financed and get construction going. I would think that the approval from the city of the new plans wouldn't be too difficult. This was, in fact, a very controversial project because a lot of the other, the presence, the connection of Live Nation to it is seen by, a lot of competitors, other concert venues in the community, so locally owned and operated, as, this is a monopoly company that controls so much of the live music industry, and it's just unfair to compete with them. But that's just the reality of the business, and they need to deal with that. And that's not something really for the city. We've talked about that on this podcast previously, but it's really not appropriate for the city to kind of get involved in that. If anything, it's a federal antitrust measure issue. So if anything, this project now needing a new approval, I would think would be less controversial because you've actually eliminated one of the venues, the smaller venue. So, I think live music venues like perhaps Turner Hall or Shank Hall, that maybe are competing would compete with an 800 seat venue, no longer have that to worry about. I think the larger venue that is still going to be part of this, is more along the lines of what, say, the Rave competes with for those types of artists. So I think, it was approved once, should be approved again without much trouble. And it'll be interesting to see if the changes they've made to the plans are going to be sufficient to get this thing financed and get it under construction finally.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, one, I guess it is encouraging that anytime someone, has the option to strip out amenities to kind of make it cheaper, to make it work, and they choose instead, like, no, we're going to build the quality project versus the lower quality project. That I feel like that's encouraging, right? If you're
Yeah,
chasing
I
a
agree.
dollar and you're chasing, like, let's just get this thing open and go from there. Well, that's a recipe for it not being a quality asset for the city. One is a unique wrinkle in all of this is the presence of the RNC, the Republican National Convention, coming to Milwaukee next summer. And when they had initially gotten approval, they laid out timelines to be, ready and open by the time that comes next July. I guess the convention's a little earlier than maybe they had thought, and part of their consideration was, do we chase that timeline that we, or not? Decide against it to, you know, just to put it on the record of what of the podcast here. What Joel Plant, the CEO of Frank Productions, the parent company of Live of FPC Live, what he told Meredith Meyer on our team was that our ability to secure financing was not in question. The question was, how much financing do we want to secure, and at what point does it may become unsustainable to build a large room when one room will drive the most impact for the market? So he's saying financing is not an issue, but here we are, you know, several months later, after a planned, you know, groundbreaking earlier this year and not happening. They're also saying they're seeing, because they have some involvement at the Summerfest grounds, and there's been a number of non-Summerfest shows and things like that, and they're saying, you know, 31% year-over-year increase in total tickets sold, and that there is this unmet demand for live entertainment in Milwaukee. So we'll have to, I guess, you know, see what becomes of this project. There's the unrelated but similar thing, the Iron District development, just a little bit to the south near the Market Interchange, has a live music venue planned. Well, that's kind of, we're still waiting to see that move forward in
Well,
earnest.
they pulled that portion for more of an event space. They altered those plans, changing to more of an event space that would accommodate a hotel piece in that project. So, and that one's still trying to finance. You know, they've got the apartments under construction over there, but they're still trying to finance all the other components of that, which includes a soccer stadium. Yeah, hotel, event venue, event space, retail, restaurants, whatever's all else, all gonna be over there. So, you know, to your earlier point about the financing and Frank Productions saying financing is an issue. I mean, I think it's always an issue with any of these projects. You know, they always want to express confidence, I think, publicly. But the fact of the matter is, you know, until the deal is done and it's put together and it's happening, it's not done, and you never know. And just seeing the economic winds shift as we have shows you how, you know, precarious these things can be. Things can change, and sometimes the math just doesn't add up, and it doesn't happen. So, never over till it's over. It's not a deal until it's done. So,
Yeah, and you can get
we'll see.
financing, but at what rate can you get financing? You
Yep.
know,
Right.
questions like that, and convincing a lender that your business model is going to work, and things like that. So, thanks for keeping me straight on which developments are which in Milwaukee, because there's certainly, you know, there's lots of activity, and it's hard to keep track of all the things going on. So, that'll do it for this week on the Biz Times MKE podcast and the weekly debrief. Thanks for joining me as always, Andrew.
You bet.
This is Dan Meyer with Biz Times Media. You've been listening to the Biz Times MKE podcast. For more business news and insights, be sure to go to biztimes.com and subscribe to any of our daily e-newsletters and our magazine, Biz Times Milwaukee.